KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
Investing in public radio when you call, you are investing for the future. The best institution you can possibly invest in right now is this one. Jason Pagano.
Hey, Steve. And good morning, everybody. We have a limited thank you gift for the 10 o'clock hour.
We're not limiting our thank yous, though.
We do. No, the thank yous are limitless. They're unlimited. But the gifts for this specific hour of the day are, in fact, limited. And they are a pair of tickets to the Burke Museum on the UW campus.
The Burke.
Many employees of KOW enjoy the Burke. It's just on campus. It's very close to our studio. And it's a favorite lunch spot. For people, you and I have gone there before.
Yeah.
And that fantastic museum. And at your pledge of $100, we will thank you with a pair of tickets. We have 9 pairs of tickets available. You need to give us a call at 206-543-9595. Make a pledge of $100 and tell them you'd like the tickets to the Burke.
I wonder if the plastic exhibit is still at the Burke right now. I think it's still there. That's a really great exhibit. If you haven't seen that, that alone is worth it. There's this great exhibit that the Burke put together with a lot of UW departments. And it's about the different ways plastics are showing up in our world. And it's fascinating. Also, just worth it at $100 to get a pair of tickets to the Burke to stare at the dinosaur skeletons. Because there's some good dinosaurs and good old, very old, kind of emerging mammals that you can see as well. And there's that giant alligator, too, which is always good to see. The giant sloth. You see the giant sloth. These are some of the things. And also, sort of sidle up to somebody and say, how can I see all those birds that you have collected in drawers downstairs? Very hard to see. Probably you can't see it. But, you know, maybe we could cajole them into showing it to you. Say, hey, I'm a KUOW member. I became a member at KUOW. 206-543-9595. You get a pair of tickets to the Burke, but mostly what you get is a thank you for supporting this service that you're investing in with your ears day in and day out. Now invest it with your dollars as well. Become a new member. Join us, 1-866-677-5869.
206-543-9595 is the local number. Online, it's kuow.org. We want to thank Eloise from Edmonds, Jenny from Bainbridge, Margaret and James from Port Ludlow. They called last hour to meet our challenge, and they wrote to tell us that they're also going to get their pledge matched by their employer, which
is
something we haven't talked about. So they tripled it up. Because they were also part of that challenge. But anybody calling in, making a pledge at any amount, that's a good reminder. I mean, perhaps you work for a company that will match a donation. It's something you just need to follow up with your HR department about. I think we may also have a list at KUOW.org. But give us a call. It's 206-543-9595.
You know, the Burke is a great institution. You walk to the Burke in the front, and you can see their ethnobotanical garden, put in by lots of people who worked a long time to make sure that you would enjoy and understand what was happening in the ethnobotany history of our region. There's those amazing totem poles that were carved by Bill Holmes. That is an institution that is in place, physical. You can see it. KUOW represents the same sort of institutional commitment to the region. It's just a little more out in the air, right? We're in the ether. We do exist in a physical space, though, and these microphones, this computer, these are all physical things that cost money. We're looking for you to help us meet our goal. You can do that by calling 206-543-9595. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation about how to be a better consumer of healthcare tests and healthcare in general. Information that you need, information that you're wanting. People did that work. They had to do the research. They had to spend dollars to do that research. That's how things are done, right? This radio station is supported by your gifts, your pledges of support. Now we're looking for you to call.
206-543-9595. Online, kuow.org. Toll free, 866-NPR-KUOW. We have 5 pairs of tickets left for the Burke. And yes, Steve, the Plastics Unwrapped exhibit is still up. It's up through May 27th. So five chances for you to call. Make a pledge of $100, and we will thank you with a pair of tickets to the Burke Museum. The number to call is 206-543-9595.
So about this time of the pledge drive, a Tuesday, second week, we start thinking, well, what? A lot of people have called already, right? We're pretty close to our goal, but we still need your call. So what's going to get you to call? Because, you know, you're probably by this time fairly recalcitrant. You've heard the messages. Your ears are a little bit sort of glossed over. The earwax has gotten a little more hard, and you know we're talking. You're hearing us, but you're not quite taking in the idea because you're not quite sure if we're listening or if you're listening. But just listen for a minute. Just imagine, like, turn the radio off for a minute. You know, you wouldn't be learning stuff. You wouldn't be getting this information. You would be a little bit less rich in your life without this service. That's why public radio is so important. That's why NPR is so important. We're just looking for you to make a commitment and a dollar amount in place. Say, okay, this is what it's worth to me, so I don't have silence when I'm in my car, when I have something important to listen to. It's a real, real request we're making. Put some dollars to that. 206-543-9595. And thank you.
Support for KUOW comes from Sodo Hydro, specializing in indoor and outdoor gardening supplies and hydroponics, featuring Grow Lights, Botanicare, Fox Farm, and more. Coming soon, Baker Creek Seeds, located south of the stadiums. Product information at sodohydro.com.
KUOW and Balagan Theater present August, Osage County, April 5th through the 27th. When the Weston family returns to their Oklahoma homestead, their reunion explodes in a maelstrom of repressed truths and unsettling secrets. Learn more on the events page at KUOW.org.
Support for KUOW comes from Avalon Northwest Landscape, offering custom landscape design and construction to expand a home's living space into the outdoors. Committed to quality, client satisfaction, and environmental stewardship on every project. Portfolio online at avalonnw.com.
When it comes to healthcare spending, we are on an unsustainable course that threatens the financial stability of families, businesses, and government itself.
One of them is called Cornus alternifolia. Whoa, plant name is telling you what it is. Alternate leaves. And the other one is Cornus controversa, which is, I always say, it's because it's controversial that it would have alternate leaves.
That's right. We've been controversy into even our gardening segments, which is coming up a little later. Also, you heard President Obama talking about the rise of healthcare costs, and they do continue to rise. And there are various efforts to control costs, often leaving different players pointing fingers at one another. Dr. John Santa practices internal medicine. He worked in Oregon with insurance companies and hospitals that provide patient care through private insurance, Medicare, and Medicaid. He's currently director of the Consumer Reports Health Rating Center. The group has published evidence-based lists of tests and procedures that doctors and patients should question. And that list is extensive with many disciplines. He joins us to talk about it. Nice to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me here.
How many different disciplines in health right now are working with Consumer Reports on these lists?
Well, this is all part of a project called Choosing Wisely, and we now have 25 professional medical societies, so cardiologists, gastroenterologists, internists, family physicians, obstetricians, who've identified 135 different health services that are being overused, if not resulting in waste. And this is a terrific area for Consumer Reports to partner with these professional societies, because our job is to tell consumers what's working and what's not working. This is terrific that these doctor associations have stepped up to their professional responsibility to tell consumers what they need to be wary of.
I was watching you on C-SPAN, and the interviewer on C-SPAN asked, aren't these organizations hurting their own bottom line when they're suggesting to the practitioners and the patients, hey, don't ask for some of these tests, don't give some of these procedures?
Well, they are. From a short-term point of view, at least, the incomes of physicians are going to decrease in many cases if they follow the leadership of their professional society. But they're also, I think, in the longer term, hopefully restoring some credibility and faith. Consumers trust doctors. They don't trust many other folks. They don't trust drug companies and device companies and health insurance and even, I'm sad to say, government. But they do trust doctors, and they trust consumer groups like ours. And they're going to need a lot of help to figure out what is worthwhile in healthcare and what isn't. Because, you know, frankly, the industry has not been as forthcoming as they should, and now maybe that's going to change.
Give me some examples of diagnostic tests that consumers should ask a second question about.
Sure. For example, there's clearly over-testing going on around allergies. Oftentimes, allergies can be diagnosed without any tests at all based on history. There's overuse of imaging. For example, the pediatricians are urging that consumers not expect every kid who's had a bonk on the head get an MRI, or every adult who's fainted get a MRI of their brain or an electroencephalogram. A lot of times doctors can be really certain that there's no reason to do more testing just by talking to a patient.
Why doesn't I remember reading a book a long time ago about doctors and listening and doctors and touching. Why has that fallen out of practice?
Well, our current system isn't structured really with a focus on efficient use. It's focused, I'm sad to say, oftentimes on profit and making money. And most experts estimate 30% of the healthcare we're receiving is wasteful. And that can extend down to individual physicians. I'm an internist. I know that when I practiced, I ordered a lot of EKGs on people who, in retrospect, didn't need them.
Because?
Because 2 or 3% of my income was coming from those EKGs, and it was a simple way for me to make money without having to spend a lot of time. Many incentives are present in the system. Also realize we've allowed the healthcare industry to advertise and promote, so consumers are seeing information that drives demand that's inappropriate from drug companies, but also from hospitals and from doctors. And at Consumer Reports, that's why we were created 75 years ago, to counter inappropriate advertising and promotion.
Dr. John Santa is working with Consumer Reports on these evidence-based lists of tests and procedures that doctors and patients should question, lists that were put together by all sorts of groups of physicians. And I was reading an article in Time magazine, actually a whole issue of Time magazine by Stephen Brill, and 26,000 word answer to the question of what's wrong with our healthcare system, and why is it so expensive? And a Washington Post reporter said it boils down to one sentence: the American healthcare system does not use rate setting. Is that part of what you're talking about here?
No, but it's an important problem. The Brill article, I think, is a significant piece. When I read it, frankly, I was nauseated. There's an enormous amount of price variation. We're talking about the second piece, you know, cost equals units used times price. We've got both problems. We're focusing on there's many more units being used than is appropriate. In fact, it's wasteful. So I think we're also doing that work at Consumer Reports, but it's not part of choosing wisely.
But isn't part of the problem with the units being used and the advertisement is because, as the Brill article pointed out, and as you guys have written about, there's an economic incentive to build beds, buy machinery, and then figure out how to pay for that machinery by having patients want to use the tests or the resources.
That's absolutely right. And the way to do that is to push out information that encourages people to demand services that they don't need. What's great is here in Washington, the Puget Sound Health Alliance and the Washington State Medical Association, doctors and consumers are saying, we've had enough of this. We are going to start pushing back. We're going to start telling patients, you don't need all of this. Talk to your doctor. Ask questions. We're urging doctors, when patients come in and demand something, let me tell you, from practicing, it's hard when a patient comes in and says, I want an antibiotic or I want a pain medicine, because you know it's going to take more time and you may irritate them.
I want an MRI. I want an EKG.
But we know that there are communication strategies where if a doctor looks that patient in the eye and uses their skills, they can come to a better understanding and agreement with that patient. We really want to try not having the government deny these kinds of services or not having insurers deny these services. We want doctors and consumers sorting this out. Meanwhile, we do have some big work to do around the price and the rate.
For example, people would be concerned about. American Society of Clinical Oncology, 5 things physicians and patients should question. This is from Choosing Wisely. Don't use cancer-directed therapy for solid tumor patients with the following characteristics: low performance status, which you'll explain to me what that is, no benefit from prior evidence-based interventions, not eligible for clinical trial, no strong evidence supporting the clinical value of further anti-cancer treatment. In other words, the doctor will have to say to a patient, for the ones I understand, we're not going to be able to do anything more for you.
That's right. And kudos to the American Society of Clinical Oncology for choosing that topic and trying to get their members to face up to that reality. They know they have members who do practice carefully like that, but they have members who don't. And they're trying to communicate to oncologists who are being overly aggressive in patients who are at the end stage of their disease, who have failed all evidence-based treatments. There's even nothing experimental to do. It's time to get those patients over to palliative care, to engage them in a conversation of, let's focus on what we can do. And surprise, the evidence is those patients actually live longer than
really?
If they continue treatment that we know doesn't work.
Tell me something. We had a lot of pushback during the push for Obamacare with something people called death panels. What they were really talking about was that decisions had to be made about health care and when something was appropriate and when it wasn't. Have you guys gotten any pushback from folks about these lists?
Now, we've been very pleased we haven't. And in part, we haven't because we frankly have not included government and have not included insurance companies and have avoided the issue of cost explicitly. So we've had an incredibly successful run in the last year talking about these issues. I mean, it's interesting. The controversies you're referring to were actually just legislation that would have paid for doctors and patients to talk about these issues. That's all it was doing. It was doing the same thing we want to accomplish. But we're in a period where the politics just don't allow these conversations to take place. Let me just emphasize, though, that these 135 services or products are wasteful. Wasteful. We're not talking rationing here. Rationing is when you have to make some tough choices between two things that work. We're talking about things that don't work and yet are being used in some cases in millions of instances.
And again, that takes us back to the patient's demand, the doctor's need, economic need, or the doctor's uncertainty because of their status, because of malpractice, all the things that come into play.
And industry advertising and promotion. Industry drives demand. We know that consumers are coming in asking for things they don't need, but in most cases, we believe if you follow that back, it's because somebody told them. And it was an advertisement, it was a promotion, it was a doctor who, you know, had been misinformed by advertising or promotion. Hmm. So it's both sides. We've got to moderate that demand.
So does, and this is one way, and then does Consumer Reports come back with the second aspect of that, which is price? Somebody's going to take a haircut on this, right? I mean, doctors or hospitals or insurance companies, somebody at some point is going to get less money.
Independent of Choosing Wisely, we've published an article that basically shows in every market for virtually every common procedure test, the variation in negotiated price is 5 times. So if you turn left, you're going to see a doctor who will charge you $15 for a CBC. If you turn right, it's $125. There are a variety of strategies. That one's going to be very tough because if you ask most doctors now, well, how much is this going to cost? They're going to shrug their shoulders. I don't know. Can you imagine that? They don't know. And as Brill said, you ask the hospital, so how much, what's my bill? I don't know. Can't tell you.
Yeah.
That's got to stop. No, we're there, but that's going to be a tough fight. The people aren't going to just give up.
Dr. Santa, you have, how many different groups now have contributed this these lists? You guys started with, I mean, you've been growing this over a couple of years.
Well, we've got 25 who've signed on. There's another 18 coming. So we're in the low 40s. Essentially, every professional society, every doctor society nationally is now committed to identify five wasteful things. I want to emphasize in this community has done a better job of bringing this down to the ground, to the trenches, and the State Medical Association and the Puget Sound Health Alliance deserve a ton of credit. Believe me, I live in New York City, which is the land of doctors and hospitals do whatever they want, and people get incredible amounts of tests. I wish we were doing in my neighborhood what's going on here.
Boy, it's tough, though, to be an informed consumer, trust your doctor, and try to save money all at the same time.
Well, realize to some extent it's time for doctors to step up to their professional and fiduciary responsibilities and help patients figure out not only what are their options medically, but what are their options from a cost point of view.
ChoosingWisely.org, among the groups, American Society of Nephrology, American Society of Clinical Pathology, American College of Radiology. It's actually pretty interesting to read these and think about just what healthcare means and how it operates. It's a good way into it. And I appreciate you talking to us.
Thanks so much.
Dr. John Santa practices internal medicine. He's worked in Oregon. Now he's working with Consumer Reports on their health rating center. We'll have links to choosingwisely.org, their patient lists, up at our Facebook page weekday on KUOW. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
It's weekday. On that Time Magazine issue that Stephen Brill wrote, about a month old now. If you haven't read it, it's pretty fascinating. Jason and I were just talking about this. We're going to try to track him down and talk to him for a good long chunk of time because it is a disheartening but very educational trip inside the economics of the American healthcare system. Kinds of things we talk about and care about on weekday, the kinds of issues that you care about in your life, the kinds of things that are important for public radio to cover in various aspects. How do we do that? Well, it's paid for through your donations. And now we're looking for you to set your own price at 206-543-9595.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I was just listening to the end of that interview with Dr. Santa where he was kind of baffled by the image of a doctor saying, "Hey, I can't tell you how much it costs. I don't know. You tell me." And that may be confusing for medical care, but actually for public radio, that's pretty much how we do it.
That's how we do it.
That is.
Set your own price.
Set your own price. You tell us what's it worth, and then make a call to 206-543-9595 or go online at kuow.org.
It's not life and death, but it is for a better society and a better culture and a more informed electorate that you put dollar amounts to this public radio service, not just for you, but to help pay for it so that it's around for all sorts of people. People who maybe are not paying for it, but people who you wish would have a chance to listen to this news and information, who you can call up and say, you know, you can listen to a podcast of this conversation that I just heard. It's important for you to know about it. 206-543-9595. We have a big goal, $12,000. Got about $8,000 raised. We need to hear from you, though, and we need to hear your ringing of support for information that you can use and apply, ringing of support for use in your garden, in your health, in your home. 206-543-9595.
We are going to talk gardening in just a minute with Marty Wingate, Deborah Prinzing, and you. We have a couple more tickets left to the Burke. We'd mentioned those earlier. There are two pairs of tickets left. Your pledge of $100 gets you a pair of tickets to the Burke Museum in the University District. Make a call to 206-543-9595 and tell them you'd like the tickets to the Burke at $100.
If you haven't seen that giant sloth skeleton, you just go for that. Or all the masks in the basement. You guys have seen the masks in the basement? The masks, the whole display of cultures across the Pacific are amazing and well worth checking out. So for $100, you get a pair of tickets to the Burke. There are two left, Burke Museum on the campus. You are supporting that institution. You're supporting this institution with your pledge of support. 206-543-9595. If you haven't called us yet, this is the time. We have just half an hour left today. 1-866-677-5869.
We definitely want to make this $12,000 goal. We're nearly $9,000 raised this morning on weekday, but hitting these goals, hitting these mileposts is what gets us to that overall goal of $950,000. So call by call to 206-543-9595 or online at kuow.org is what's going to get us there. Jeff and Vicky, thank you. In Seattle, they renewed. Michael in Seattle renewed. Rachel and David in Seattle also renewed and say they appreciate the support of the arts and the arts coverage they hear on KOW. David and Alicia in Bellingham, Steve, they waited for you to come on before they renewed. Very nice.
Thank you.
Joanne and Olympia.
We need that kind of support.
Absolutely. Joanne and Olympia is a new member. First time pledging to KOW. Perhaps this is your opportunity to become a new member. You listen all the time. You've thought about it. You're on the fence. We're just trying to move you off the fence to step up and say, yes, I'm going to do it this time. You tell us what it's worth to you. I think the important thing, as you've heard, is that you call and just decide to do it and say yes to KOW and Public Radio. And the number is 206-543-9595.
Give us a call. We want to hear from you. I would like to hear from you folks right now as well, if I may. Do you have anything to say at all, Marty Wingate?
Are my flowers blocking your view of
they
the
are,
production?
They are not. They make Andy just framed between pussy willows.
All right, good.
Deborah Prinzing, do you have anything to say about life at all?
Well, I just think that we should call out to all the gardeners listening and tell them, come on, we've got to vote for, you know, weekday.
Amen.
And get Steve over the top here.
Everybody who looks at plants in the course of their day
Good. Should
call and place their support.
It's universal.
It is. It is universal. Marty Wingate writes about garden and travel, gardens and travel, maybe just one garden, the big garden of the world. You can find her work at martywingate.com. Her book is Landscaping for Privacy. Are you traveling soon? Aren't you taking off soon?
Next month, yes, off to England. Chelsea Flower Show.
Get a look at all those.
100th birthday of the Chelsea Flower Show.
Get a look at all those old gardens.
Yes, all those, and some new gardens.
That sounds fun. You're going to have a good time. I hope you'll send us postcards again. Deborah Prinzing is a writer, lecturer, local flower expert. She's the author of 6 books, including The 50-Mile Bouquet, Seasonal, Local, and Sustainable Flowers, her latest, Slow Flowers, 4 seasons of locally grown bouquets from the garden, meadow, and farm. I just like the slow flowers.
You have to say it really slowly.
It amuses me. Yeah.
And here are, she brought some in today.
By the way, I just want to say that I went to a party this weekend, and I did just what you told me to do, and I used my yard for. I was going to go buy flowers. I said, no, this is perfect. I have currants and forsythia and
viburnums, so proud of you.
And all sorts of stuff, and I. And even some, which is the scented one, Osmeria or Osmanthus?
Osmanthus.
Osmanthus.
Osmeria is an old name for it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, not Daphne, though.
Not a Daphne.
Because that's pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, no, I killed my Daphne.
Well, good for you. And I bet your host really appreciated receiving those garden flowers.
It was nice. What did you bring in?
I brought these for Marty's birthday, so they're all local.
Is today your birthday?
It was at the end of March. The good weather weekend.
You turned 40?
Yes, thank you, Steve, I did.
39? You're still 39?
there's some gorgeous dark purple hellebores in here, dark dusky purple.
Yeah, those are nice.
And bright coral tulips and euphorbia and willow, and this daffodil that's just opening reminds me of Tahiti. Is it?
That's what it is.
Is it?
Yeah,
I love
and
Tahiti.
And it was grown by Jan Rusin in Mount Vernon. He's so talented.
Stuff. It's yellow, and then there are the inner blah, blah, blah of the flower. Bulb flowers are weird. They're orange.
I've not heard that technical term for the inside of a flower.
I like the green stripe on the outside of
the
bud.
Nice.
It's so different. So.
And that's from, did you say that's from Skagit Valley?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
Tulips are happening in the Skagit Valley right now? Or are they?
I've seen some photos being posted, but I haven't personally gone to see.
I haven't seen that.
Well, maybe if you folks have gone to some, you can share some photos with us. And then what's the top, the green?
That's a euphorbia.
Oh, that's the euphorbia.
Thoraceus, is that, is it?
I'm not sure, but yeah. I bought it from Jello Mold Farm, another farm in Mount Vernon.
Yeah.
The thing with euphorbia is, you know, when you, if you ever pruned it in your garden, it excretes this milky sap that's quite annoying, and you don't You don't want to get it in your vase because that milkiness will look really bad and clog up the other stems.
So how are these?
So it hurts the other stems?
It can. It can. So what I do, and I've learned this from a couple farmers, is that you cut your euphorbia and you plunge them into a beaker of boiling water.
Oh, it seals it
from the tea kettle.
Wow!
And then once all that kind of seals off, then you can put them in your vase and not have this ugly milky water.
Ugly milky water.
Mm-hmm. We're going for this aesthetics.
Yes, I agree. I agree. What's in? What would you have added to that from your garden if you had, you know?
Well, of course, forget-me-nots are out, and so they make a little... Some people are annoyed by forget-me-nots, but I love them dearly. They're blooming with their little blue...
What makes them annoying?
Sky blue flower. Well, they do spread a bit, but I let them. I don't care. By the time the flowers go over and go to seed, the plants have got powdery mildew, so I just yank them out, and then new ones come up for next year. It's really nice.
They're so tiny, you have to put them in the most minuscule vase you ever own, like a thimble.
Yeah. I have some... the pulsatilla, the pasque flower, is just, it wasn't looking at the calendar. It didn't realize that Easter was early this year, and so it's not quite open yet, but it's about to be. And that's, that probably doesn't last in a vase, but they're gorgeous on a plant, that ferny, soft.
Yeah. Olive. Now, I don't know how that does in a vase. It kind of reminds me of anemone, and they do well in a vase.
That's, yeah.
What I thought was crazy over that one good weekend is that my peonies grew like it. Before my very eyes.
By leaps and bounds.
It's so exciting to see bird stems pushing up through the soil.
But you didn't get any buds yet, did you?
No, but there are those. I love those early profile of peonies, that kind of
red stem,
russet. It's just so, it's just so exciting.
Lovely foliage.
Yeah, just exciting to see them come up through the soil.
Why doesn't my peony flower?
Well... Where is your peony and how long has it been there?
Because it's coming up now.
But is it herbaceous or a tree peony?
It's herbaceous.
And does it, how long have you had it?
Eons. I think it was one of the few plants that was there before I moved in, and I moved it.
Oh. When did you move it?
15 years ago.
Oh, that would be fine.
That would be all right. It's possible that over the years it has been buried by, maybe you've put mulch out there or something like that. Peonies do not like to be too deep. And so you might want to just lift the whole thing, and you'll see the little red, well, now, of course, you'll see it growing, but even when it's dormant, you'll see little red points. Those are the growing points. Those, I mean, how, you don't even want to cover those up here.
No, you want to see them. A friend of mine described them as mom's lipstick tube. That's what they look like coming up.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, Marty. They like to be right at the surface, and maybe they're suffocating a little bit, even though the foliage is producing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get foliage. So I can lift them up, though. I don't have to worry about disturbing their roots by getting a pitchfork in there and lifting them up.
Well, get a big, flat, wide shovel and just kind of...
The whole thing, huh?
Yeah. Scoop. And then don't expect them to bloom anytime soon. Sometimes it takes them a year or two to settle in.
I moved all of my peonies this year, this last fall, so I'll have to let you know if any of them bloom.
Yeah.
I could end up having a bloomless spring.
See, that would not be good. I would not like that. A bloomless spring.
Well, but like Marty said, the foliage is pretty.
It is.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Do peonies like the heat or do they like a little shade?
Remember I told you they grow in Alaska. So,
yeah,
they like to be. In Seattle, they're fine wherever you put them, but because they're done blooming by the time we get a hot summer.
Yeah, I think in general we say full sun. Although we have a large clump of beautiful single red peonies right in front of our house, as in 6 inches away. And our house faces north and we're on a hill. So they get probably 2 hours of sun in the summer. But they've been there a long time. And so I think it was sunnier when they established well. They bloom really well every year.
What's happening in your garden?
Oh, my goodness. I have been waging war with somebody, some four-legged buddy, going out, having a buffet of every single tulip in my garden.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm just going to have to switch to only growing daffodils. These tulips that Marty has in her vase were in a big wooden planter that I actually pulled into the garage after like a third of the bulbs had been chewed off at night. So it's a mole.
Who would be doing that?
A vole or some wicked creature. And I, of course, I'm organic, so I'm not going to really do anything about it. We have to live and let live.
But I had a raccoon trying to dig under my roof again last night, so he doesn't get to live and let live.
So what are you going to do?
Yesterday I shined a light at him until he left. He was quite perturbed. I just kept shining a light in his eye.
He's going to be waiting for you, Steve.
He was quite perturbed when he sauntered off. He had that look in his eyes like, oh, I'll be back.
I don't know. I mean, I have a wonderful lab, and I could leave her outside all night to patrol the yard, but that's not fair to her. So
no, that would not be good. No. Neither animal would be safe with that.
No.
I just would like him not to try to dig into my roof. I don't know what his deal is.
How is the raccoon getting up there from a tree?
Fence. Yeah, they're magical.
Yeah,
they just appear there. And then it's finding this little cubbyhole where it seems to want to be under one of the eaves.
Maybe put some daffodil bulbs up there because they don't like daffodil bulbs.
Yeah.
I put some screen up there and thought that would be enough, but apparently he's now trying to dig the screen out to get into that little cubbyhole place. I don't know what they eat.
Garbage.
Yeah, they'll eat it.
They're not digging up your garden anyways. No. Not right away. All right. By the way, shall I mention that you may not be hearing Greg Rayburn's voice, but that's because he is doing something. But he'll be back, right?
Hopefully he's listening right now.
If he's not partying yet, then yes, I hope so. Is there anything I could do early in the season to prevent my Shasta daisies from falling over when they bloom later? Linda wants to know.
Well, you could do the Chelsea chop in May, what they call the Chelsea chop, because at the time of the Chelsea Flower Show, a lot of gardeners will cut tall perennials back by, what, half?
Yeah. It's painful.
It is painful because you're thinking, oh, my gosh.
Why are you doing this?
To keep them shorter and stockier so they don't fall over. So it'll work with Shasta daisies. It'll work with that tall campanula, the peach leaf campanula. What else will it work with? Phlox, will it work with?
Yeah, a lot of perennials that are more of that. I don't know, maybe it's because I think they're old-fashioned English perennials, border plants.
That doesn't sound right, but that's what she has to do.
Well, either that or, I mean, I have some Shasta daisies that I just put a peony cage over, and that's like kind of a round ring that you can put over a plant as it's starting to emerge, and then the stems go up through it. You really don't see it once it's flowering, and it keeps everything upright.
All right, the Chelsea chop. We're going to ask you for money, and then Marty and Deborah are going to answer more of your questions. You can email us weekday@kuow.org. I will also give you some phone numbers to call, which would be 206-543-5869 for a question for them, or 1-800-289-5869. But write those down. And now remember these numbers to call. Jason Pagano.
The numbers to call.
Do you remember?
Yes. I was just giving the gardening questioners a chance. It's 206-543-9595 to make a pledge to support gardening, to support our volunteer guests who come in here, donate time every week. Not just Marty and Greg and Deborah, Lisa Taylor, Vaughn Palmer, Robert Horton, John Talton, Nancy Pearl.
I'd like to see John Talton's garden.
What are you imagining?
I'm just imagining a garden with lots of really tough plants that withstand the economic forces. And Michael Parks, perhaps, as well. A lot of, you know, like things with woody things in John Talton and Michael Parks' garden.
Well, he's going to be back in talking about his novel, I think, in the next week or two.
We'll ask him.
Anyway, the number to call right now, 206-543-9595. Online, it's kuow.org. Toll free, it's 866-NPR-KUOW. That's 866-677-5869. The limited premium, the tickets to the Burke Museum have gone. So thank you for everybody who called in and pledged for a pair of those. Those have since gone. And our goal of $12,000 is...
We're not there yet.
We're not there, but it is totally within reach. We have over $10,000 raised. We've got 16 or 17 minutes to make our remaining $1,500. I know we are absolutely going to get there because all of the gardening fans are going to call in at 206-543-9595.
You know, that's hopeful of you, but I am like one of those people on the merry-go-round. That brass ring keeps going around, and I, when it's in my hand, then I've got it. But until that point, you know, if 140 of you pledged at the $120 level or 10 bucks a month, so that'd be like, you know, 1400 bucks a month coming in, we would more than easily raise our dollars. I'm just changing the math up a little bit. I'm thinking about what Vaughn Palmer's garden would look like, what Mike McGinn's, John Diaz, he's going to probably be working on his garden. What's his garden look like? Gardens to fit the personalities of the people in the news. I think when you call and pledge your support at 206-543-9595, if you have some ideas, please shoot them our way. I'd be curious to know. We'll ask them tomorrow. We're going to ask Vaughn tomorrow what his garden looks like.
Everybody who ever comes on the show from now on, the final question will be like,
"That's right.
What's in your?"
That's right. I asked Dow Constantine what's on his iPod. From now on, what's your garden look like? 1-866-677-5869. Mike McGinn's garden? He's got a lot of bicycle wheels that have vines wrapped around them in his garden. You know, it's like decoration. 1-866-677-5869, 206-543-9595. Help us reach our goal. Help us exceed our goal. Help us wrap up this pledge drive. We only do it with your calls of support. We need you to call right now.
206-543-9595. And again, we just want to talk to those people who are not members of KOW specifically right now. You listen.
Why is that?
Well, because they haven't stepped up. Well, right. They were trying to move them off the fence. And I know that people listening specifically, especially during the gardening segment, this is meaningful radio to you. Perhaps it's appointment radio. And it's hard to imagine that anybody who regularly is tuning into gardening would not also be a member if they're able. And I just want to throw that out there. This is a great time for you to step up, become a member. You're already a member of the listening community, but support that with a contribution to 206-543-9595.
Fair enough. But I would just say that the gardeners, that's because they understand our nurturing metaphors that we have used. We're planting the seeds, we're fertilizing the soil, we're helping public radio grow. They understand those metaphors because they are in the dirt all the time. The question is, can they dust off their fingers and grab their phones? 206-543-9595.
Support for KUOW comes from Tiny's Organic Farm, providing a variety of fresh organic fruits and vegetables, now featuring 20 pounds of Honeycrisp juicing apples. Local delivery available from Zarly.com. More information at Zarly, Zarly.com/Tiny's Organic.
KUOW would like to acknowledge the businesses that have donated food and beverages for our volunteers during our pledge drive, especially Chocolopolis, Terra Organics, Peak's Frozen Custard, and Cabot Creamery Cooperative. Thank you for supporting KUOW.
Support for KUOW comes from Avalon Northwest Landscape, offering custom landscape design and construction to expand a home's living space into the outdoors. Committed to quality, client satisfaction, and environmental stewardship on every project. Portfolio online at avalonnw.com.
You know, we get emails sent to us about gardening information, but also about pledge responses. Peter, who I hope to meet, Peter wrote, "I knew I had settled well into Seattle once Steve Scher started making sense." You know, Peter, I'm going to take that to mean that you were probably a little vague and unfocused, and then when you got to Seattle, you started understanding how things actually meant, what things actually meant and how things were actually done in a more concise and provocative way. That's what I'm taking from that message.
Of course.
Also, Diane writes, first of all, she says, "I just called and continued my pledge at $10 a month. We have shot weed that's driving us nuts. I bought my husband this garden decoration to embody how he feels about it. Any cure, prevention, can anything, e.g. ground cover shrubs, push it out, or is the best strategy just to let it go grow? It's everywhere."
The best strategy is to get to it before it goes to seed, because
just
that
right now,
shot weed, it's like if it's gone to seed, you can reach for it and it's as if it senses you coming. And just before your hand gets there, boom, there go the seeds everywhere. So now it's in bloom.
So that's what you're advocating is manual attack.
Manual attack, and there'll be seeds still left in the ground. Mulch well. If you mulch in a bed that's already settled, it's not a new bed, you're not continuing to plant in there, and you don't disturb the soil, then you're not going to uncover all of those extra weed seeds. But get them out first.
How do they do that? How do they know that your hand's coming?
I have no idea. They're smart.
I've seen it.
Darn
seen it
happen. Weeds.
And what do you think, Marty, about the blowtorch method? I have seen people advocate or heard that advocated.
I know. Willie talked about giving her husband one of those flamethrower things.
And just walking around the yard burning shotweed heads?
Apparently some people use it, and I have not. I'm too leery.
I see Steve's little thought bubble. Yeah. He's thinking about the raccoon.
No, I would never do that.
Uh-oh.
By the way, people have written in and said, let's see. One caller called up and said the raccoon is just looking for a place to sleep in the daytime, not trying to get into my attic. Well, isn't it trying to get into my attic to sleep in the daytime? But I understand that it just wants a place to sleep. I just don't know if I want him tearing up my roof in order to be comfortable about it. And Edith also emailed. She said that as well. It's just trying to have a good time. I should sprinkle cayenne where I don't want the raccoon. Ada writes, I planted some dahlias from tubers last year. They did really well. After they died down, I never took the tubers out of the ground. Do I need to do anything special to get them ready for the growing season this year, or leave them be and let them do their thing?
Well, it depends on if they show up or not.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way.
Dahlias. Yeah.
I left mine in the ground, too. So a lot of Seattle gardeners do.
Yes.
The temperature was very mild this winter, so I would predict that she should be fine.
One good thing to do if they do show up, or if she plants more, is next winter mulch the area with western red cedar, droppings, boughs, sword fern fronds, and that helps to keep the area a tiny bit drier. Because the wet.
I guess that's my favorite success story with dahlias is to plant them on a slope because and I have a graded area in my garden, and that's where I put the dahlias because if I forget to layer branches, at least I'm getting some drainage away from that tuber so it's not soggy.
Here's an email. I like this email. Paul writes, my condo association is about to spend a goodly sum replacing the leaky irrigation system on the rooftop garden. The whole thing is to be replanted as well. I wonder if we could select plants that could thrive on rainwater alone and forego the need for any irrigation system at all. And what local resources are there for designing sustainable rooftop gardens? Well, I just looked that up, Paul, and you could start with seattle.gov and their City Green Building Resources Green Roofs Update. They have a lot of information on what a green roof is. Couldn't they pursue that if they wanted to avoid
definitely.
The irrigation?
Yeah, and the city site is a really good resource. There's also a new-ish book out from Niall Dunnett on small green roofs. So, in other words,
residential
instead of the giant industrial buildings. And it's a Timber Press book, and they could take a look at that. I think it's Timber.
All right, good, because green roofs are the future, are they not?
Mm.
Or so we're told. They may be. Here's what, for your tulips, this is what Dorrit found. I found Liquid Fence totally protects my tulips and other yummies, and I'm surrounded by deer and rabbits. I heard that spraying three times or more, maybe once a week, works because deer are such creatures of habit, so after the third time, they don't eat anymore.
I'd have to look and see what was in that product. I'm not sure if I would advocate until I saw what was in it. But I know that people who have deer problems are much more desperate than someone like me with a few little holes made by my vole. City, gardeners in the city aren't, we have no idea how tough it is.
No, we don't. And I know you do too. We often get the deer question and I have to say, sorry, Woodland Park Zoo, that's the nearest deer to me.
Flamethrower weeding from David. I heard the comment. The flamethrower method is very effective against shotweed. Use it in the winter in December, January before the shotweed goes to seed. Also, the ground is wet, so you're less likely to have a problem.
A problem.
Also, remember to protect any plants from the flames.
Any adjacent plants, yeah.
Yeah.
Time-honored method, he says, of getting rid of those things, those troublesome creatures. All right, if you have some emails for us, shoot them along real quick at weekday@kuow.org. We'll answer some more of your questions before they're done. Nobody took us up on our other phone call things, phone call opportunity, because it's so confusing.
Yeah.
And now I only have a minute left. So are you going to be anywhere?
I'm going to be in Paulsbo at the Paulsbo Garden Club speaking on Saturday. So that'll be fun.
Are you going to be anywhere?
I am sadly having to go to Santa Barbara to speak on Saturday and Sunday, hosted by the California Cut Flower Commission, and 70 degrees down there. So I feel bad, but I'm going to have to go do that. Don't hate me too much.
What would be a really good pledge drive garden? Well, what should be in a garden for people who, you know, support the sustainability of public radio?
You mean what kind of incentive?
No, what kind of plants would be there? Like, I'm going to walk around and I'm going to find the KUOW gardens. Where would I?
I think it would be a garden with plants that have a lot of versatility, both beautiful for the eye, but also maybe would feed you.
That's good.
Fruits.
That's very good.
And herbs.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
And useful for wildlife.
Yes. Katie Sewell says, I think it's because we're getting closer to the end of this drive, or would like to. She says those gardens should have impatience. Ba-boom.
Very good.
That's comedy right there. Deborah Prinzing is a writer, lecturer, local flower expert, person who gets to travel to California. Slow Flowers, Four Seasons of Locally Grown Bouquets from the Garden, Meadow, and Farm. What's next up, by the way, from your slow flower garden? What's coming up that you're going to be looking for?
I'm excited to watch those peonies. I've got about another month and a half, but I'm eyeing them. Thanks for asking. Lilacs, too.
And lilacs. I saw a few lilacs popping out. That was interesting. Marty Wingate writes about garden and travel. Her book is Landscaping for Privacy. She's heading in a while to the UK. What's next in your garden? What should we look for next week?
The garden plot.
Well, that's
Potting Shed Mystery.
That's your book and your hope. But
there'll be news.
Oh, there'll be news next
Ooh.
Week. Oh, well, bring in an appropriate plant.
All right, I will.
That's great. I appreciate you guys coming in. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
They volunteer their time, Jason Pagano.
Indeed.
And they brought us flowers.
No, this is going home with Marty.
He brought me flowers.
Rats. Well, there you are.
They were lovely to look at.
They come and go. Yeah, they were lovely to look at. They were lovely to look at.
And little news, we've made our goal. Thank you to everybody who called in this morning.
But we're not done.
We're not done, but we did surpass $12,000. So now anything in these last few minutes that we get, it's gravy.
Is that what it is? It's gravy.
It's going to go towards that $950. It's gonna move us forward and perhaps shorten the drive.
Thank goodness they don't just this is your goal. This is all you get, and then everything else that goes into the general fund. We'd be like people waiting to have our potholes filled. All these different shows. To the point. Sorry, you're only going to be on for 28 minutes today. No, it doesn't work that way. We are here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we are waiting for you to join us and be a member as well. 206-543-9595, 1-866-677-5869. Pledge online at kuow.org.
That's right, 206-543-9595. In just these last few minutes of weekday, online, it's KUOW.org. Like Steve said, it's 866-NPR-KUOW, toll-free.
Toll-free. Why is it that every time we turn around, another billionaire is offering to give the Sacramento Kings money to keep their basketball team in the city? There's a new rumor floating around by I shouldn't call him a billionaire. He may only be a millionaire, who's talking about giving the Kings some money to keep their bid alive. They lost a rich person this morning. We're tracking that story. We try to track all sorts of stories for you throughout the day. We were talking about Chief Diaz today. We talked about how healthcare costs might be contained by creating smarter consumers. There are all sorts of ways you stay informed. We are looking for you to join us and keep this service going.
And you do it by calling 206-543-9595. Just about 2 minutes left to make a pledge of support this morning during weekday, and we would love to hear from you. Toll-free, it's 866-NPR-KUOW. Online, it's KUOW.org. Steve, we learned about a breath print this morning. I had not known about that. And that kind of followed our conversation we had yesterday with Mary Roach. That
did, didn't it? The alimentary canal.
She knew about that, and it was interesting. She was here for a nice long discussion with you, and then as she was leaving, Amina Alsadi, our producer on the show, had this conversation with her about this study. Mary Roach knew all about it. We set that up for today, and strange. It actually kind of got me thinking that the microphones in the studio must have an amazing degree of immunity, I was going to say.
Well, they're inanimate. Let's hope they're not breathing back. Sacramento developer Mark Friedman said today he's joining the bid to buy the Kings and build the team a new arena at Downtown Plaza. That's from the Sacramento Bee. So the dueling millionaires will continue to try to sway the NBA as they decide where there will be another NBA team. Maybe there'll be more millionaires showing up to Seattle as well. It's one of the breaking stories you've been tracking with us. Ever since Dow Constantine and the mayor announced it, they started breaking that news in part on weekday. It's because they know that they can reach you. You're an important part of their constituency and their community. You're a voter. You're an informed citizen. You're part of the civic institutions that create this region. Part of the way that happens is through a strong media and a strong public radio outlet like this one. So now, on the second Tuesday of the Pledge Drive, we ask you, if you have not yet become a member, those are reasons why you should become a member. 206-54-
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at kuow.org.